The scripture lesson for our message this morning is taken from the book of Daniel, Daniel the first chapter, and I want to read verses 1 through 8. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall into his power, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought into the land of Shinar, and placed the vessels in the treasure of his gods. Then the king commanded his palace master, Asaph, bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and of the nobility, young men without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. There they were taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the royal rations of food and wine. They were to be educated for 3 years, so at the end of this time they could be stationed in the king's court. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah. The palace master gave them other names. Daniel he called Belshazzar. Hannah he called Shadrach. To Miguel he gave Meshach, and to Ezra he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the royal rations of food and wine. So he asked the palace master to allow him not to defile himself. We give God thanks for this God's word to us, and the people of God say, Amen. Our topic this morning, surviving against the odds. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. I think that you might agree with me that no matter how young you are or how old you may be, and all that is in between, there are times when you are faced head on with the challenge of holding on to what you believe, to holding on to your values and the things that you believe are right. Or the opposite is to go along to get along, to be neither hot nor cold, as the church of Laodicea was described in Revelation. This life has its own consequences over time. And in reality, we will discover that it costs more to give up our values, to give up our values and belief and integrity, than it is to hold on to them. This is not to say that the road will be easy. In fact, in the language of our day, the odds are stacked against us. There are temptations all around us. And then perhaps the greatest temptation of all, that battle within. We can overcome. The lessons from Daniel and the Hebrew boys tell us something about what it is to go through and to be victorious. How the odds can be stacked against you. For the odds were stacked against them. They were strangers in a strange land. To illustrate this point, look at their names. Their names were changed from their Hebrew tradition. Azarel will now be called Abednego, meaning the servant of the god of Nebo. Mishael will now be called Meshach, which means I am of little account. Hanel will now be called Shadrach, meaning I am fearful of God. And then Daniel. His name meant, God is my judge. It was changed to, Lady, protect the king. And then the food that was placed before them. It was food that for these four men was not right. Or in the language of this day, it was unclean. By the strict Hebrew law of this time, their meal had to be prepared in a certain way. And then it was the custom in Babylon that the food was blessed. It was blessed in the name of idols. It is to the idols that people were to give thanks. The odds were stacked against Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they made it over. They made it over. And there are three things that are needed, that I would suggest are needed, when the odds are stacked against you. To begin with, you have to know who God is. A pastor saw a little boy walking home from Sunday school, and he stopped him and he thought he would test him. He said to the young man, I will give you a great big shiny apple if you can tell me something that God can do. Thoughtfully, the little boy replied, Sir, if you can tell me something that God can't do, I'll give you a whole box of apples. There is something about God, something about God that we may not see or understand everything. But in the presence of God, in our life, in the presence of God, in our life, it cannot be taken away from us. Paul wrote those words in Romans 8. If God is for us, who is against us? We can overcome when we know who God is. And then we have to know who we are. A philosopher went to his friend's house and he knocked on the door, and his friend's child came to the door and he looked at him and said, Who are you? The question struck the philosopher so he said, I wish I knew. The Greeks, long, long, long ago now, were struggling with this. They entitled it simply, Know Thyself. How many books have been written? And how many of us have found that the greatest mystery in our life is to be ourselves? What are we looking for? What are we looking for? It is said that in the desert, there are two very different kinds of birds, and both of them thrive. One is the vulture. It sees nothing but dead and stinking carcasses. And then there is the hummingbird that seeks the lovely blossoms of the cacti. The vultures live on the dead. The hummingbird lives on the fragrant present. Each bird finds what it's looking for. People can get what they're looking for. It can be something that leads to self-destruction, or it can be what is God's presence and God's plan for our life. So we can overcome the odds when we know who God is and we know who we are. With these two realities in front of us, we then can know what makes a difference and what matters most in our life. For these young men in our story, it was not the approval of the king and all of the comforts that it could bring. What they wanted was God's approval of their life. It would not come the easy way. Dietrich Bonhoeffer long ago wrote these words, and he described it as going against the easy way, or what he would describe as cheap grace. Listen to his words. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Grace without Jesus Christ. Living and in the incarnate. Now hear the difference. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price, to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ. For in it causes one to stumble. But it is the call of Jesus Christ in which one would leave their nets and follow him. Costly grace is the gospel, which must be sought again and again. It is the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. It is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it cost a man his life. And it is grace because it gives man the only true life. A great difference between cheap grace and costly grace. But it is that costly grace that matters most. We are about overcoming the odds. That is our life and our own personal journey It is the life and the call of our church in the times in which we live. And perhaps it becomes more of a special word on this July 4th weekend. All around us within our world, one could throw in the towel. All around us within our world, the odds seem stacked so high. Issues like poverty, like war, like a nation divided. But yet, we are the church. We are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are people of hope. And so wherever we are in the institutions that we serve in, wherever we are in our neighborhoods, in our communities, wherever we are, we must be those who say we can overcome the odds. We must be those who say, as they said in the heart of the civil rights movement, we shall overcome someday. We are those who know who we are. We know who we are because we know who God is. We know what matters most. We know. We shall overcome. Let it be said in all that we say and do. Let it be said this weekend. And in the days, the weeks, the months, the years which are to come. Amen. Amen.